Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Three-step drop. Oh, he is buried. He is sacked. It is Mario Williams back at midfield.
You got to give me that leg, whip. You got to give me that leg, whip.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird. The ball hawk with the interception for the Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
This place is pandemonium.
CJ at the 10, 5, touchdown! CJ Spiller, touchdown Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The Monday night edition of The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Good evening. Welcome to the show. We are Monday night show. We have the Monday morning show, which perhaps you've heard of. Every Monday after the Bills play from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, we are live on the air. Portions of this show are recorded. In fact, most of it is, all of it is recorded. But we're here until 8 o'clock tonight. We'll take you up to Monday Night Football, the Dallas Cowboys and the Chicago Bears coming up. 8 o'clock pregame show right here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks for tuning in. Rough day, another one at One Bills Drive this Monday. And the players were in. They had conditioning work, weightlifting work, and then meetings around midday. Several hours worth of meetings and video review. Very rough day. The 24-hour rule, you know all about that. And the Bills are going to have to get to work on turning the page on yet another tough loss, very difficult loss. Kind of a head-scratcher, really, for the Bills to play like that. Going into the game, and I said it a couple of times last week, I was concerned about a possible hangover from the Atlanta loss, that maybe that would carry over. It certainly did. Players talked about it in the locker room. Believe me, I'm not happy that that's the way it played out, but it did matter, especially second play in, that touchdown run by Bobby Rainey, second play into the game. There's no excuse for that. You can't do that. In the NFL, the margin between good teams and bad teams, the margin between winning and losing is tiny. And if you're not ready to play, and if you're still worried about what went down last week or what maybe bothered you during the course of the week, you won't win in the National Football League. The Bills just played awful yesterday from virtually start to finish and wound up taking it on the chin to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not a good team. They did do some good things defensively. The Bills only allowed 28 yards against them defensively in the second half yesterday. That was good. They turned over the Bucs a couple of times. That's a positive. But by the time the good things started happening, they were in so much of a hole, it didn't matter that much. And offensively, the Bills were just abysmal again. They did not score a touchdown against Tampa Bay. So we're here tonight to talk about that game. We're going to hear from Nigel Branham, linebacker who got the start and played the majority of the plays at outside linebacker for the Bills. He'll be joining us later this hour. Chris Brown, my partner, the lead journalist from BuffaloBills.com, he'll be joining us a little bit later on this hour. And coming up in just a few minutes, the game rewind. We'll take a look back at how it sounded on the radio, the Bills and Tampa Bay with the radio calls. But as I said, players back today, coaches back today, video review day. Head coach Doug Marone, when he met with the media this afternoon, was asked his assessment of quarterback E.J. Manuel's play against Tampa Bay.
He did not play well.
Can you maybe elaborate on some things that were particularly?
Well, I mean, obviously we had the turnovers, you know, the two turnovers, you know, the read, and you know, and again, you look at the individual performance at times, you know, when you say we have to get better play at that position, are there things that hurt his level of play? Yes, obviously. You know, there's some things that happen up front. You know, people, you know, batting a pass down, people, you know, near him. Okay. I don't care what quarterback you're playing with. When people are around them, it's very difficult. Are there things he could have done a better job of progression wise, read wise? Absolutely. So, you know, again, you know, we've got to work harder in our preparation and get him prepared. He understands that. We talked to him about it, and, he's ready to go. So, you know, he's ready to get back to work.
How difficult is it when you have to come to the conclusion that you may have to scale things back on EJ?
Who said scale things back?
You said isn't that what you said post-game last night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To make sure that we're able to go out there and execute it. You know, if we're not executing, then we have to figure out what exactly we have to do and start with that and create a foundation and an identity.
Coach, predictably, fans are pretty upset with EJ's performance and maybe even some doubt is creeping in from them. You've been very consistent in saying there's going to be one day that you're not going to have to worry about EJ. Can you just talk about what it is that you see from him that makes you believe that you're not going to have to worry about it in, however X amount of time?
I mean, he has the ability to do it. There's no doubt in my mind. The problem is that it's like anything else. He's going to take, a lot of the heat, because of the position, and that comes with it. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that the people around him are doing what they're supposed to do.
Head coach Doug Marrone with questions and answers today about quarterback E.J. Manuel. He also got questioned, the coach did, about usage of personnel, especially when it comes to some of the younger guys who played yesterday and moving into the future. Coach Marrone says that offensive lineman J.J. Unga, who played one series yesterday, figures to get more playing time moving forward. The same for tight end H-back Evan Rodriguez, expected to get more playing time. And he singled out linebacker Ty Powell for some solid play at the linebacker spot and on special teams. But really, Marrone also is very interested in getting more reps for young receivers, including T.J. Graham and Marquise Goodwin. In fact, Marrone says Marquise Goodwin is in line for significantly more playing time.
I say we could do – I'm sorry. I hope I said it. We could do more with them. We could get them more involved. We could make sure – it's like anything else. I think those guys have talent. No doubt they have talent. They have obviously better than average speed. And we have to get a way to get the right group of people in the game that can be productive, really, at the end of the day. And that's what we're looking at with everybody.
What's your, your take? I mean, when you sometimes as a coach of the game, maybe you're I don't know exactly.
How I think Goodwin has to
score at the end, and they have zero receptions the last two games. I think maybe in Toronto, I don't even know how many targets they had. But I mean, what's your reaction when that number sinks in of zero catches?
I think Marquise Goodwin, and I talked to Coach Hackett about this, I think we have to get him in there more. I think TJ has to keep working and becoming more consistent.
Interesting. Keep an eye on that as the week goes along. More playing time, more reps for rookie receiver Marquise Goodwin, and it appears for second-year receiver T.J. Graham. That's what the head coach had to say. A lot of talk around the locker room about accountability, about taking stock and trying to figure out what's wrong with this team after two straight losses and going 1-5 in the last six games. I asked, there's a lot of talk about accountability. I asked Fred Jackson exactly what he thinks accountability is and how accountability translates into better performance and wins on the football field.
When you're asked to do something, you got to get it done. Like myself on the screen pass I dropped, I have to be held accountable for that. I can't do that. When that play's called, it's 3rd and 18, our offensive line does a great job getting out. They're blocking for me downfield and I drop the ball. I need to be held accountable. They need to come to the sideline and say, you got to make that play for us. And that's what it's about. I got to go out, and lead by example. I got to go, tell guys when there's things to get done that we got to get it done. And that's for everybody. That's just not, one single person. That's for all of us on this team.
And is that element missing, do you think, in this locker room?
Well, I think, it's not missing, but, it's not stressed, as much as it needs to be, guys talk about it. We're aware of, we all need to be held accountable, but, not a lot of guys are calling guys out when we need to. And, that'll come, we have guys in this locker room that are going to step up and, take onus on that.
Fred Jackson, that'll come. Well, time running out if they're going to start calling each other out and be accountable. Eric Wood, Bills center, one of the captains on the team, says over the next 3 weeks, the final three games, you'll learn a lot about what sort of character is on this Buffalo Bills team.
Yeah, we got 3 games left, and we got to approach them very seriously. We want wins. We want to see where we're at. But we got to get back. We need to get to a winning spot in this franchise where we're going into each game with the same mindset, with the same sense of urgency, the same accountability, and the same passion to win from everybody. And when we get there, we'll be able to do something special here because, just a couple weeks ago we're saying we're not far off from where we want to be as a team. And then you go and lay an egg like yesterday and you feel like you're starting over at square one. We're not. We have good players on this team. We just got to do some growing up.
Interesting. They got to do some growing up, according to center Eric Wood. So a lot of soul searching, as we said. The day off coming up tomorrow for the players, and coaches busy game planning tonight and all day tomorrow. And next up, a trip to Jacksonville to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some news from around the NFL, part of the Dunn Tire, Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Dunn Tire and Kumho Tire is the official tire of the Bills, giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. You can get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with a purchase of four Kumho brand tires. Visit DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. The Bills in Jacksonville coming up Sunday. Jaguars running back Maurice Jones-Drew will not practice until Friday at the earliest, and his status against the Bills is in doubt. He's got a hamstring strain. He suffered it in the fourth quarter of last Thursday's win over the Houston Texans. Amherst native Rob Gronkowski is out for the rest of the year. He goes to injured reserve. He tore the ACL and MCL in his right knee during the Patriots' comeback win over the Browns on yesterday. A devastating loss for Rob Gronkowski and the New England Patriots, injured in the third quarter. Tyrann Mathieu has had an outstanding rookie season for the Arizona Cardinals. He tore the ACL and lateral collateral ligament in his left knee during the win over St. Louis, the 30-10 win over St. Louis. According to Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians, an MRI confirmed the injury. Matthew's going to have to wait to begin healing before he had surgery to repair both ligaments. Mike Shanahan, there's a lot of rumors and reports about Mike Shanahan, the Redskins coach. He was given the chance today to shoot down reports that he wanted out of Washington at the end of the year, and Shanahan declined to do so. He would not name the Redskins starting quarterback or talk about his future when he met with the media in Washington today. Monday Night Football coming up, 8 o'clock. You can hear the game right here on our flagship in Buffalo. It is the Dallas Cowboys at 7-5 and the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. Cowboys need a win to keep pace with Philadelphia in the NFC East. And forget about tailgate parties at the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. There will be no tailgating. You will be allowed to have food in your car and drink in your car, according to the game's CEO, but provided you're in the boundaries of a single parking space, you'll be able to eat or drink right next to your car. But the organizers of the Super Bowl say you're not going to be able to take out a lounge chair, not going to be able to have a grill, you're not going to be able to take up more than one parking space. What's up with that? No tailgating at the Super Bowl. Doesn't seem right. That's it, the Daily Rundown, the Dunn Tire, Kumho Tire Daily Rundown. Hey, the votes are in for this week's Bills Gating Fans of the Week, presented by Salins. This week's winner, Dylan Smallman. Dylan Smallman and his group. And when you're tailgating or watching the game, remember to take photos of your Salins-inspired tailgate. Upload them to BuffaloBills.com. The winner's announced on our Monday night show, so get in the game for a chance to win the grand prize. Salins, official hot dog and deli meat of the Buffalo Bills. Let's take a look back at yesterday's game, our Monday morning game rewind. The audio highlights from the Bills in Tampa Bay, a perfect day in Tampa, 82 degrees, low humidity, few clouds overhead, the Bills and the Bucks, and just a beautiful day that was ruined on the second play from scrimmage.
Lennon turns and hands it off. Rainey stops and starts in the backfield, breaks loose, gets away from a tackle from Alonso. Rainey at midfield, at the Buffalo 40, at the 30, at the 20, inside the 15, 5-yard line, touchdown. Bobby Rainey, 80-yard touchdown run on the second play from scrimmage.
It was like a little counter play. You know, it's just a bang-bang play I got to make. And, you know, you can't give up any big play like that. It's just, you know, I take full responsibility for that play. It's a routine play. I got to make it in the hole and for no game.
Kiko, take full responsibility. That's accountability. Where does it go from there? That was the question we were talking about a few minutes ago. Anyway, 18 seconds in, the Bills down 7-0. Buffalo got the ball back again. Their second possession started at their own 42-yard line.
Manuel looks to his left, plants his foot, drives it downfield, and it is caught at the Tampa Bay 48-yard line, and the flag goes down late.
Unnecessary roughness. Hit on a defensive receiver. 15-yard penalty from the end of the run. Automatic first down.
It is 2nd and 9. Bills at the Tampa Bay 32. Shotgun snap. Manuel looks down the middle. Fires short. Caught by Chandler at the 25. And he is muscled out of bounds at the 17-yard line. 16 yards on the pass to Scott Chandler. Three wideouts left side. The snap to Manuel. Going to throw it. Pressured. And he is dropped. Sacked back at the 23-yard line. The Bucs came hard around the corner. Levante David and Akeem Spence teaming up on the sack for Tampa Bay. It'll be a 40-yard try for Dan Carpenter from the middle of the field. The snap, the kick is on the way, it is up, and it is good. The Bills are on the board.
Get a field goal after they had it inside the Hunt Real Estate red zone. 7-3, Buffalo trailed in the third quarter, or first quarter. 5 minutes left, first quarter. Bucks get the ball back again, looking at third and seven at their own 44.
The snap, it's a four-man rush. Glennon standing in the pocket, flings it downfield, looking for Jackson, makes a great catch at the Buffalo 35, and he is out of bounds there at the 34-yard line. What a sensational catch for Vincent Jackson, a 22-yard pickup, and a beautifully thrown ball by Mike Glennon. The snap, Glennon looks to his left, standing in the pocket, it's collapsing, he gets away from the pressure, rolls to his right, looks downfield, fires downfield, looking for Vincent Jackson, and he makes the catch. There's a flag on the play, but he makes the catch in the end zone for the touchdown. He got by Nickell Robey in the end zone.
Quarterback got outside the pocket, and, you know, I seen him break free. He released inside, I just seen him break free, so I just made sure when he got back behind the defense, I was just trying to make the best effort to make a play, and he just threw it in, you know, he caught it.
Tough matchup, a big guy like that down there in the end zone, right?
Yeah, it was, he's a great receiver. You know, we just got to play more consistent.
Nickell Robey talking about the touchdown pass that Vincent Jackson caught. 14-3, Bucks on top as we head to the second quarter. There began at the early in the second quarter an exchange of very ugly quarterbacking, starting with the Bills, second and three at their own 44.
EJ's going to throw it. Pass over the middle. It is tipped. It is intercepted. Picked off by the Bucks. Levante David has it. David at the 40, at the Buffalo 35, and he stumbles out of bounds at the Buffalo 34-yard line. The pass over the middle for Stevie Johnson. It was high, went off his hands into the waiting arms of Levante David, his fourth interception of the year. Third and nine at the Buffalo 33. Glennon takes, looks, pats it, throws it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Jarris Bird at the 24-yard line, spins away from a tackle, heads to the sideline, dodges a man at the 30, still on the run, and he's pushed out of bounds at the 39-yard line. The ball hawk, Jarris Bird, with the interception for the Bills. It is second and six at the 43, the snap. EJ standing in the pocket, looks downfield, guns it downfield, intercepted, picked off by Banks. Banks over the right side at midfield, cuts to the sideline, and he's pushed out of bounds at the Buffalo 41-yard line. E.J. Manuel delivers an interception again. Jonathan Banks, the rookie, with his third of the season. Can you tell we got rookie quarterbacks playing in this game?
The corner, Banks, he undercut the guy. It was too high, so we usually get to the backside dagger on it. And he undercut the guy. Like I said, I could have taken off and run instead of trying to force the ball in there, but hit my second hitch and wanted to get out of my hand. So it's an errant pass. Can't do it. You just got to take off and, you know, slide, get 5-10 yards if you can on the feet instead of throwing an interception.
E.J. Manuel on his interception. In the middle, you heard Jarris Bird's interception, his fourth of the season, tied for team leadership in that department now. Bird also had a handful of tackles. He's the Advanced Alarm Defensive Player of the Game. Advanced Alarm providing Western New York homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, and the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. So an exchange of interceptions, Tampa Bay got the ball back again at the Buffalo 41 and moved into position for a field goal try.
Ryan Lindell, the former Bills kicker, the kick is up. It is long enough, and it is good. Ryan Lindell with his second 53-yard field goal in as many weeks. He hit a 53-yarder last week at Carolina.
That field goal made it 17-3, Bucks on top. Still second quarter, 8 minutes left to play. The Bills' defense now begins to play better, and they force a Tampa Bay punt from midfield.
So Michael Kanan is in to punt. McKelvin waits for it. Kick in the air, high. Great hang time. McKelvin signals fair catch and bobbles it at the 20, and the Bucks may have it at the Buffalo 20-yard line. Leota signaled fair catch, bobbled it. No indication yet from the officials on the field.
They came up with it initially.
It is Tampa ball. Wow.
Muff punt for Leotis McKelvin. Bucks get the ball back again, but quarterback Mike Glennon kept putting it up for grabs.
Glennon takes. Blitz coming. Standing in. Fires. Looking for Jackson down on the five. It is intercepted. Stephon Gilmore picks it off at the 2-yard line. Pass intended for Vincent Jackson. These quarterbacks just keep giving it away. This is unbelievable.
Stephon Gilmore with the interception. We're going to make him this week's New York State Smokers Quitline game changer. For help to quit smoking, call the New York State Smokers Quit Line, 1-866-NY-QUITS, or go to nysmokefree.com. Deep into the second quarter now, Tampa Bay has the football, third and 15 at the Buffalo 40.
Shotgun snap, Glennon, pressured, fires downfield, and this one falls incomplete at the 32-yard line.
He's not going to call a penalty on that.
Personal foul.
There is a flag.
Roughing the passer.
Oh, in the back.
Low hit on the quarterback.
Jarris Bird, a low hit on the quarterback. Bird can't believe it. Neither can my broadcast partner, Mark Kelso.
You call him and a hit to the head,
He put his shoulder right in his thigh. He didn't go to his knee.
Spread formation, the snap. Glennon looks right, guns it down the middle. It is caught at the 10-yard line and up for a first down. Spinning forward, down to the 5-yard line goes Tim Wright. Wright has it all the way down to the 4, and the clock stops with 34 seconds left to play. Glennon shotgun. The snap, looks to his left. Fires down the middle. It is caught. Touchdown. Touchdown Tampa. Tim Wright, the tight end. Touchdown Tampa Bay.
5-yard touchdown pass. They go to the locker room at halftime with the Bucs up 24-3. Third quarter. The Buffalo Bills trying to make things happen. Opening possession of the third quarter. They had a second down at their own 39-yard line.
Shotgun snap. Manuel waits. Fires down the middle. Looking for Stevie. He's got him. Makes a catch at the Tampa 30. Gets a block there. Runs into his own man. And he's finally brought down at the Tampa 27-yard line. Best play in the game for the Bills offensively. They're in Tampa territory. A 34-yard pickup. EJ threw a nice ball in the middle of traffic. Second down for the Buffalo Bills. Second and 18. Manuel going to throw it again. Fires it right side. Caught by Hogan at the Tampa 25. And he is brought down at the Tampa 24-yard line. EJ Manuel waiting for the shotgun snap. Takes it. Looks down the middle. Pressured. Rolls to his left. He's being chased and he is sacked. He is dropped. A loss of 4 or 5 yards. William Golston, the defensive end, brought him down back at the 34-yard line. Dan Carpenter with a 46-yard attempt. Snap is down. The kick is on the way. It is up and it is good. Not by much, but it's good.
3 points out of their opening possession of the second half. Bills trail it 24-6. Couple of pass plays get him downfield for that field goal try. The UPS Store delivery of the game. Visit the UPS Stores of Western New York, your one-stop shop for all your small business needs. For locations, visit theupsstore.com. Tampa Bay gets the ball back again. Bills down 24-6, early third quarter with 8:46 to play. If there's a sliver of hope for the Bills in the second half, it was right here.
50's Mike.
Glennon identifies the middle linebacker, puts his receiver in motion, and takes the shotgun snap on third down. Looks, pressured, rolls left, sack. Back at the 13-yard line, it is Marcell Dareus, Mr. Big Stuff, who brings him down. Back at the 13-yard line, a loss of 12.
So the Bills get the ball back again, 8 minutes to play, down by 18 points, but 8 minutes left third quarter, and a good drive start at the Tampa Bay 47.
EJ Manuel lines him up shotgun, here's the snap, looks to his left, throws to his left, caught by Chandler at the 42. Turns around, heads downfield, and brought down at the Tampa 38-yard line. That's a pickup of 8 or 9 yards. It feels like a critical drive. If the Bills have any chance to get a whiff here, Mark, they need something out of this drive. Yeah. They need a touchdown. Third and one, EJ. Play action fake. Looks downfield, fires left, caught by Lee Smith in first down territory, brought down at the Tampa Bay 31-yard line. Levante David brought him down. So a pickup of 7 and a first down for the Bills. Second and 11, Manuel out of the shotgun, throws it left side, and it is intercepted. Picked off at the 22-yard line. It is picked up by the linebacker, Mason Foster, and he is brought down there. A very low pass out of the hands of E.J. Manuel, his third interception of the game.
That one wiped out that chance. The Bills got the ball back again later in the third quarter, a minute 20 to go. They had a first and 20 at their own 36.
Manuel looking to throw, spins away from pressure, looks downfield, fires downfield, complete to Robert Woods. He is drilled, and the ball's popped out. The Bucs recover at the 41-yard line, starting upfield at the 35, at the 30. Back come the Bucs, and it's Levante David at the 20, and he is finally hauled down from behind at the 13-yard line. A big hit on Robert Woods. The ball came out. Levante David came up with it. And the Bucs take over on another Buffalo turnover.
They called it an interception. It looked to me like a fumble. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets changed. But in the scorebook now, it is 4 interceptions charged to E.J. Manuel. Fourth quarter, one last gasp for the Buffalo Bills. They have a first and 20 at their own 17.
Manuel fires a screen pass, caught by Spiller at the 12. Makes one man miss, gets to the 20, 25, 30. CJ on the run in the open field, at midfield. Flag goes down, CJ at the 30, at the Tampa 20, down the sideline, 10, 5, touchdown, into the end zone. CJ Spiller, there is a flag on the play, an 83-yard touchdown play and a screen pass to CJ Spiller.
It's coming back on a hold called on Eric Wood on Darrell Revis, I believe. Just got to let the
holding
teams play.
Offense, 10-yard penalty, three first down.
At least give us the courtesy of identifying the player who held.
The penalty was on number 10.
Really? Robert Woods holding?
I'm disappointed that, you know, we played a Kansas City team, which was a tough game, and we came back in Pittsburgh, did not play well in a lot of things. We played a game last week, which was a very difficult game for our players, and we played, you know, even worse than we did in the Pittsburgh game. That's disappointing when you want to grow and you want to go forward. But at the same time, I'm not going to stand here and say, I didn't learn anything from this. I learned a lot. I learned that we have to work harder. I learned that we have a long way to go. I learned that we have to take more accountability. You know, when you start trying to find the good things and mitigate feeling good, I can't stand up here and make excuses. I can only promise you that we're going to work harder. We're going to get this thing fixed.
And that's Doug Marrone after the game. 27-6 the final. The Bucks over the Bills. We're going to talk to one of the defensive standouts for the Bills yesterday. Linebacker Nigel Bradham standing by to join us in studio. That's coming up next. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO after the Bills lost at Tampa Bay yesterday. Joining us in studio, one of the guys who had a pretty good day defensively and a decent day defensively for the Buffalo Bills, linebacker Nigel Bradham in studio with us. Thanks for coming by, Nigel. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
A lot of action for you yesterday. 47 plays, 71% of the defensive snaps. That's more than you played most of the season, I think, in games, right?
Yeah, definitely the most I played so far this year. Felt good to be back out there, being able to just try to make plays when I could. Feel like I could have done a little more. But, I mean, it was good to be back out there, getting back in the groove.
Did you know all week, last week, that this was going to be a big game for you? You're going to get that much work?
Yeah, I knew. Tampa Bay is a big 21-12 personnel team. And, I mean, as far as the matchup-wise, I felt like I knew there was going to be a lot of 12-21, so I knew I'd be on the field a lot.
Let's start with you got the start, and first down for the Bucs was an incompletion, so now it's 2nd and 10, Tampa Bay at their own 80-yard line. You're out there, and they go two tight ends on the big play, right? They went 12 right. personnel there. You guys were in what Coach Marrone called 46 defense, like the old Bears defense, which right. you don't play a lot, do you, over the course of this year?
Not too much. Every once in a while. It just depends on the personnel and what Coach Patton's feeling like and what he's expecting to come from the offense.
And that put you up on the line of scrimmage, essentially, inside Mario Williams?
Right.
Is that are you guys guessing on 2nd and 10, and you know with all the tendencies, are you thinking they're going to throw there on 2nd and long?
Most of the time they take a shot. That was one of their tendencies. We knew going into this game, and we had studied on it, and we felt like they probably take a shot in the passing game, and they hit us with a little counterplay.
Yeah, 46 defense is designed. You know, it's high risk, high reward, so that if they hit a play, you know, there's not a whole lot of guys backing up once they get through the line of scrimmage, right?
Right. I mean, it's what you just have one linebacker back there and one deep safety. And that's pretty much it far as the back end of the defense. As far as everybody else, we're pretty much on the line of scrimmage.
So Rainey goes 80 yards. What did that play do to you guys on defense? I mean, were you stunned? I mean, you're 18 seconds into the game and you're down 7-0.
I mean, we just had to fight back. That was one of the things. It was an adversity type play, which I mean, put us set back. I mean, and that's not us as a defense. I mean, we don't play like that. We hardly ever give up plays, especially that big in the run game, for sure. And, I mean, for that to happen, it was really an eye-opener to us to, like, oh, man, what are we doing? Let's get back on track, man. Let's stop this run game.
As the game went along, both against the run and the pass, it seemed like the Buffalo defense did get back on track. I mean, second half, you gave up 28 yards of offense to Tampa Bay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were just trying to fight back to get in the game. That was one of the main things. We just wanted to put our offense on the field as much as we could, try to create some turnovers or anything, or three and outs, just force them to punt the ball, not give up any points, no touchdowns, make them kick the ball, if anything. And that was one of the main things for us, to just try to get back into the game.
And you did create turnovers, did held them to 3 points in the second half. So I imagine when you get in the video room today, the grade is going to be kind of mixed, right? Some bad plays, but some decent plays for the defense too yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't our best game. We got to play complete. That's the thing. As soon as we go out there, we got to be ready to make plays. We got to play like that from the jump. We can't wait and sit back to the second half and then try to get back into the game. We just got to come out dominating.
We're with Nigel Branum, Bills linebacker. He's live in studio with us as we talk about yesterday's loss at Tampa Bay for the Buffalo Bills. How much, it's been a kind of a topic of discussion, but did you feel last week going into the game that you guys still were hurting from the tough nature of the loss at against Atlanta the week before? Did you feel like you weren't even over that game by the time you took the field yesterday?
I didn't feel that way. I felt like we took it upon ourselves. We was pissed off, and that was the thing, being pissed off. But we just didn't make the plays that needed to be made, and they made plays, and that was the difference. That was the difference.
A lot of talk about in the locker room post game that the captain spoke up. Just give us your view of what went on in there and what the dialogue. You know, don't tell us anything you don't want to, obviously. But what the dialogue was like and what kind of things were discussed in there.
I felt like it was good for us. It was a way for us to try to get on the same page and everybody have a chance to voice their opinion as far as the captain-wise and from the coordinators and the head coach and pretty much just what they expect out of us and what we need to do to get better as a team and how we can get on the same page and pretty much just get this thing rolling, man. We got to turn it around. Like, it's time. Like, we don't have time to keep losing games. Like, we're tired of it. And I mean, we got to figure out something where we all get on the same page and just face all the adversity and just turn it around and just start winning games.
A lot of talk about accountability, Nigel. I hear, you know, Fred Jackson talked about it. Coach Marone has talked about it. What does that mean to you when people say we got to be accountable for how we play?
It's huge, man. I mean, how can I go out there and play for somebody if they don't trust me or expect me to be accountable to make plays and or play beside them? If they have to question me being there on a certain play or knowing my job or knowing my assignment and doing what I'm supposed to do. So it's huge. It's a huge factor as a team. It's a huge factor as from player to player, from coach to player, from player to coach. Everybody has to be accountable. We all have to be in it together. And that's how we're going to have to start getting wins, by just being accountable with each other, earning each other's respect, and just knowing that we out there fighting for each other, and we're going to do whatever we can to get a win.
How do you turn the accountability and accepting responsibility for problems into wins, though? I mean, Kiko said it. I give him a lot of credit after the game yesterday. He said, that was my play, that was my mistake, the 80-yard run. That's good that Kiko does that, but how do you translate that into victories going forward, into wins, into playing better?
Because, I mean, far as like, a guy like that, to being able to own up to it, most people would be like, "Oh, that's not my play to make," or he could have easily blamed it on somebody else, or anything like that. But by him saying that was his play, because he know he can make that play, and we all know he can make that play. We've seen him make it plenty of times, and pretty much that'll transfer over into guys doing their job better because they just don't want to let their teammates down, and that's the only thing. Like, you want to be accountable for each other, and that's how it translates into wins, because you're not going to really make too many mistakes if you're playing for the guy beside you, because you want him to know that you're there for him.
It's a tough stretch right now for this football team. Have you ever been in a situation like this at FSU or even before that in your football career?
Nah, never. And it's a difficult situation to be in because it's different. I never experienced anything like it as far as how we losing games and how we just – a lot of the games we lost were close games that we could have won just to play here or there. So it's a lot different. It's adversity, and pretty much you just got to figure it out and just grind through it and figure out a way to get through it and learn how to win games through those adversity situations and just make plays.
And as far as you, Nigel, I mean, very tough loss yesterday, but you know, you're on the field a lot, you know, 46 snaps, six tackles, leading the team in tackles. You got to feel like, in a personal sense, that was not a bad day for you to be on the field that much and to be productive in terms of making tackles yesterday.
Yeah, but it wasn't enough. That's the thing. I mean, I felt like maybe I could have forced a fumble or I could have intercepted that ball that went right by me that I didn't expect him to pitch. And maybe that would have changed momentum to be able to make a play. I mean, all that personal stuff, it really doesn't matter if you don't get a win. I mean, you feel bad, you feel down. I mean, that doesn't even matter if you lead the tackle and the team in tackles or if you had a touchdown or whatever or sack or anything like that. You forget about the production because you're just tired of losing. Like, that's not – we hate to lose. And as players, you get frustrated because you're like, man, can't keep losing like this, especially when you're not from a losing atmosphere.
Yep, I get it. Thank you for coming by here. I know it's a tough day. You got meetings to go to. We appreciate you stopping by here today.
All right, thanks for having me.
Linebacker Nigel Bradham, we talked with him earlier live on the show at about 10:30 in the morning. Coming up, Chris Brown, the lead journalist for BuffaloBills.com, will get his take on where the Bills go from here when we continue the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The nighttime edition of the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Monday Night Football coming up, the Cowboys and the Bears. Thanks again to Nigel Bradham. Earlier today, we talked with the lead journalist of BuffaloBills.com, our partner, the great Chris Brown. Chris.
Wow.
I know how I feel. I'm trying to make you feel better.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, I am too, which kind of worries me. It worries me. Now I'm thinking this is normal. I don't want this to be normal, this kind of aftermath.
I don't like saying it either, but I'm almost kind of numb. I hate to say
it. Oh, wow.
It's just numb.
I know. Hey, you're just out of the locker room. That session that started about 9:30, wrapped up about 15 minutes ago. General sense in there. What's it like on this day after that bad loss yesterday?
Well, I mean, I think they know they have a real problem here. I mean, you can't have that kind of a performance. I mean, you're a team. I mean, let alone... You know, you can talk about mathematically alive and all that stuff all you want till the cows come home. I don't care if you're in a postseason hunt or out of a postseason hunt. You can't perform like that if you expect to be a person on this roster next season.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to come down to. These last three games are all – you could talk about playoffs and how you're not in it anymore and you're playing for pride. These guys are playing for jobs. And I don't know if all of them fully realize how much their jobs – are on the line.
Well, that was my question. I hear you saying that, but do they get that? Do you think those players understand?
I don't know if they do, but
all of them.
Some of them might learn the hard way in a very short period of time, as in before the season is over.
Yeah.
Because I just get the sense that something is afoot here where there's going to be a shocker sooner rather than later with respect to this roster.
You just came out of the locker room where among the players you talked to was Eric Wood, and he had some interesting things to say about the rest of the season.
He, you know, said, look, we can't lay eggs like that. No matter how affected we might be by the previous game or how dejected we might be about a performance where we thought we had a win and didn't get it. Obviously, he's referencing the Atlanta game in Toronto the week before. And he basically said, it's got to be better. And the last three games, we have to perform better. He still feels the team's going in the right direction. I asked him if everybody's pulling on the rope with the same weight, for lack of a better description of my question. And he said, you know, most of these guys, I asked them the same question, is the collective commitment there?
Yeah.
And most of them chose to point to themselves first. But I said, at some point in time, somebody else has got to point at the guy that's not pulling his weight and say, start pulling your weight. And I think that's where that leadership has to really kick in for this team. Because if you don't have the other 10 guys that are not pulling on the rope hard enough, you're not going to win. You're never going to win.
Here's Bills center Eric Wood talking with Chris Brown and others in the locker room just moments ago.
Yeah, we got three games left, and we got to approach them very seriously. We want wins. We want to see where we're at. But we got to get back. We need to get to a winning spot in this franchise where we're going into each game with the same mindset, with the same sense of urgency, the same accountability, and the same passion to win from everybody. And when we get there, we'll be able to do something special here because, you know, just a couple weeks ago we're saying we're not far off from where we want to be as a team. Then you go and lay an egg like yesterday and you feel like you're starting over at square one. We're not. We have good players on this team. We just got to do some growing up.
Accountability is a big word the last week, but especially the last few days, Chris. And I like it. And I like when Nigel Bradham sat here last half hour and talked about how, you know, he had six tackles, played 47 plays, and he said, I could have done more. And that's accountability. Kiko, after the game, minutes after the game yesterday, told me on camera that was his fault, the Bobby Rainey 80-yard touchdown run. E.J. Manuel, a soundbite we had from yesterday, he accepts accountability. Here's my question. And I don't know the answer. How does accountability translate into better performance or wins in this case? How do you do that? I don't know what the answer is to that.
I think that's an answer that the coaching staff has to instill in these players or give them. And, I mean, we heard Coach after the game yesterday say we're putting them in position more often than not to succeed. But they're not succeeding. And I don't know if it's something that is as simple as guys not knowing what it takes to be a pro at this level. because I think it's different than what it takes to be successful in college. And we were talking about this on the pregame show yesterday in the roundtable. Who's here to teach him on the roster?
Right.
Who on the roster knows what it's like to be a true pro and win week in and week out? I mean, Kyle Williams will give you everything he has out on the field, but who taught him how to be a pro here? Who came before him that won an extraordinary amount of the time to show him the true level of commitment? And I'm not calling out Kyle. I'm just saying it's from some of the most veteran players on the roster to some of the newest players on the roster. There wasn't any predecessors here to really show them the way. And they, some of them may falsely believe that they're accountable, they're committed, and they might not be in the eyes of the coaching staff.
Right. Chris, thanks for stopping by. We always enjoy having you. Chris Brown joins us on Mondays, courtesy of Ilio DiPaolo's Restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or takeout, they're a Buffalo Bills tradition since 1965. You can visit them after the game. Ilio DiPaolo's, 3785 South Park Avenue in Blaisdell. Hey, we want to remind you, fan balloting is underway for the Pro Bowl. Players and coaches are going to vote on Thursday, December 26th, and fans can vote until that day also. Thursday, December 26th for the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl selections will be announced on Friday, December 27th. The Pro Bowl draft, January 21st and 22nd, a new format this year, a live broadcast of the draft on the NFL Network and the game itself, Sunday, January 26th, 7 p.m. on NBC. But vote right now. Go to BuffaloBills.com and vote for whoever you want. Kiko Alonso, Mario Williams, among the leading vote getters for the Pro Bowl, and the balloting continues for another few weeks until Thursday, December 26th. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We want to thank you for listening in. Our presenting sponsor is NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow night, The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.